We look now briefly at the city of Alexandria, which is such an important center of Christian theology and then of theological controversy in subsequent centuries. We've already mentioned it in passing in connection with Philo of Alexandria, who lived there and reminds us of the fact that there was a large Jewish colony in this Egyptian city. Just a reminder of its history, it comes into existence as a result of the wars of conquest of Alexander the Great, for whom it is named, and whose tomb was perhaps one of the most important tourist spots in the ancient world in that city. The city is extremely important commercially after the development of the Hellenistic Empire and its subsequent annexation to Rome, because the city provides the point of contact between the Mediterranean Sea and the River Nile. If you look at the satellite maps, both on the right-hand side of the first row of pictures, and then the next picture down that shows a larger version of Egypt, you'll see that Alexandria is perfectly located. In ancient times, there was a connection via a canal between the River Nile and the seaport itself, which meant that there was the possibility of offloading goods directly and then transporting them quickly to other parts of the Mediterranean and, in Roman times, to other parts of the empire. Alexandria was vitally important as a source of grain. Throughout antiquity, but especially then in the Roman Empire, Alexandria was the principal source of grain for the empire. And the control of Alexandria was a very important political question. The city is not only politically and economically important, it is spiritually and theologically fascinating because it provided a point of contact not just for commerce but for spiritual reflection and thought. There were representatives of all the major religious traditions that were within reach of the Hellenistic and Roman empires. There were not only large colonies of Jews, representatives of all the pagan religions, including what vestigial remnants still existed of ancient Egyptian religion, but also the religions of the East. There were Brahmins described in Alexandria. And so Alexandria was an amazing melting pot with its vast library. It also provided a place for theological and scholarly research and study. And as we'll see, it provided a very, very fertile ground for Christian appropriation of the wisdom of the ancient world, and in particular, the theology of Plato. It is in Alexandria that Plotinus emerges and arises, a contemporary of Origen of Alexandria, and Plotinus, a pagan, is the principal representative of the development of Platonic thought that comes to be called Neoplatonism, and which becomes very important in Christian mystical theology, primarily in the writings of Dionysius the Areopagite. All of these individuals, Clement of Alexandria, of course, Plotinus, Origen, and Philo, are able to do the incredible work of drawing on classical antiquities, of which the texts survived and were to be found in the library, and where there was ongoing discussion of these matters, and in which there was a climate, in this context there was a climate of using the best of this tradition to explicate current issues. In Philo's case, to understand the Old Testament, in the case of Plotinus, to develop in light of contemporary religiosity the notions of Plato from a pagan perspective, and then in the contexts of Clement and Origen, and then the great patriarchs, the bishops of Alexandria, especially Athanasius, to take that ancient tradition and to allow it to become a tool, a resource, that helped Christian theologians explicate the mysteries of the divine nature, the interrelationship between the persons of the Trinity, and so forth. If you look at the pictures that I've provided, just as a kind of a visual way of appropriating something about this city, we note also that even in ancient times, and the second row of pictures on the right shows an ancient mosaic of Alexandria. It is depicted as a very busy place with boats whooshing in from all sorts of different parts of the empire. And if we drop down to the next set, it was the seat of one of the great wonders of the ancient world, the Pharos, or the Lighthouse of Alexandria, which made the harbor approachable even in bad weather and at night. No one knows exactly what the Pharos looked like. The the mosaic on the right represents a one traditional version of it, which is probably closer enough to antiquity to be moderately accurate, and the picture on the left is, of course, a modern reconstruction. There was a fire burning at all times, and although we don't know the details of how the light was transmitted out, there may have been a system of mirrors that allowed the light to be projected out much further. For those who travel to the north of Egypt today, unfortunately, ancient Alexandria is to a large extent underwater, which is symbolized on the left by the Sphinx staring at the person with aqua gear on. And if you look at the right, the modern city or seaport of Alexandria has grown up, and I'm afraid excavation has only been performed to a very limited extent. So the ancient glories of Alexandria are not as visible or accessible as those of other ancient cities in the Mediterranean. And with this, we'll conclude our look at Alexandria. I'd invite you to take a look at the text from the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church that describes just a little bit about its past and also suggests its continued development and how important it will continue to be in subsequent centuries, which we will be evaluating later.